Good evening. I need your prayers really bad this evening. I'm Joseph Gellenbeck from Central Kentucky. Go to the Junction City congregation. I'd like to sing a verse, first verse of number 288, please. Appreciate the opportunity to be here in this meeting. I have received such a blessing in this meeting. The Lord began talking to me several weeks ago and started giving me some thoughts that I knew were for here, and been seeking the Lord about it, and He's added some more in this meeting, and the special songs and some of the things that were said spoke to my heart this evening. I feel that this is what the Lord wants. And if you don't want to hear me tonight, I don't blame you. I hate to hear myself. But would you listen to the voice of God tonight? You know, when I get down from here, I want you to be able, I want you to hear the scriptures that were read and the thoughts that were expressed. You know, my words are not going to convince you. But the Lord is the one that's got to do the convincing tonight. I was thinking about how the Lord, throughout all time, He has wanted to. It's such a marvelous thought to me. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to come down and talk to you. He wants to give you direction. He wants you to help. He wants to help you to know where to live and what kind of job to have, how to raise your children, how to work for Him, where your mission field is. The song that we sang a little bit ago said, "Lord, let me see my mission field." There's a lot of directions we can take in life, even trying to serve the Lord, and we can just go headlong and we can get busy. But the Lord has a specific plan for you. Do you know that? The Lord has a distinct, defined purpose in life for you, and He's got a place in the body of Christ that nobody else can quite fill because He created you, tailor-made with all the strengths and the tools that you need to fill that spot that He planned you before you were in the womb. He planned you. He planned for you to do things for Him. He planned for you to speak to people and help people. And He planned for you to fill a place in His body that nobody else can quite fill. And when you're not filling that place, the body of Christ suffers a little bit because of it. Well, I'm thinking of a verse this evening in Isaiah 58 that is a promise. Well, it's conditional. It says in 58 and 11, "The Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water, whose waters fail not." In the Old Testament, they had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that would go before them and show them what direction to go. They could go to the priest. They could ask. They could inquire of the Lord. They had the Lord started talking to me earlier last year about the Urim and the Thummim. Those were two things nobody knows. Maybe some other people that know more than I do know more about it. But from what I can figure out, they were actually objects. They were put in the breastplate, and they were things that that they would use to determine. I don't know exactly if they were like dice or something like that, but they were things to determine God's will for somebody. Well, the Lord has the Holy Spirit today, and which it, in the research and the understanding that I have attained to, in that the Urim and the Thummim were direct types or shadows of the Word and the Spirit, the God's two witnesses to us today. But the Lord has promised to guide us. He has promised to guide us, but there are some conditions that we have to meet, or else He won't guide us. And in fact, if He doesn't guide us and we go long enough, we can get to where we think we're being guided by the Lord, but we're actually guided by something else that's dark and demonic. Maybe, I don't know if we'll get to that or not, but let's go back to the first verse in Isaiah 58. Isaiah was a prophet in the days of four kings of Judah: Hezekiah, Jotham, Ahaz, Uzziah, I believe were the four. And if you read, we're not going to take the time to read, but in the second chapter, he said, this is a land that's full of horses. There's no end of their horses and chariots. There's no end of their silver and gold. There's also no end of their idols. And everybody's bowing down to them. There were people that were so, and they were so proud in what they were doing, and they went just going headlong in any direction that they thought was anything they wanted to do, basically, and then they'd try to justify it. Well, let's see how they behaved. They weren't just a bunch of atheists. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. This is Isaiah 58 and 1. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? And then he gives the answer. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. That if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. I love the promises that are in the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New. I think about where Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. I don't believe that that means that when you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to know how to build a rocket ship or even the deepest things in theology. But what it means is that the Lord is going to guide you into all the truth that you need to know to fulfill your mission in life. Line upon line, step by step. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's incredible to me that the God of the universe wants to tell me where to go. How to go, how to live. He wants to send me guidance to where I know if I'm in the will of the Lord or not. I know, and you know, there's a lot of directions we can go, but it, to me, with the last song, the last special song that said, what a blessed assurance to know that that I'm His and He's mine. It's such a comfort to know that the Creator of the whole universe takes such an interest in me that He has a path for me to walk, and all I've got to do is walk in it. All I've got to do is follow it. It doesn't matter who opposes me. It doesn't matter who approves of me. It doesn't matter who comes against me. It doesn't matter who wins the next election. It doesn't matter any of this stuff, folks. If the Lord's guiding you, I don't have words to say. What a privilege. But you know, there are some ingredients for the Lord to guide us. I want to lay out a few of those ingredients tonight by the help of the Lord. You know, it is so important to pray. And I highly recommend, you can't be spiritual, you can't live for very long in a spiritual sense without taking time to seek the Lord. If you get too busy to seek the Lord, you're too busy, all right? If you're too busy, get up and you rush out the door and I've got work, have to get up too early, whatever. And it makes that, folks, I understand there's some time. The other day, just a couple weeks ago, I had an appointment I had to keep. I had to keep this appointment. And when the alarm went off, I reached over, shut it off, and then promptly went right back to sleep and didn't get up until just a few minutes before I had to leave. Well, what I do? Get up, throw your clothes on, grab something out of the fridge, go out to the car, and you have your prayer on the way. Folks, there's times where you have to do that kind of thing, but when it becomes a way of life, that can be dangerous. I highly recommend that you not just take plenty of time to read and to pray, but you get in there and study. Get some good program, some apps on your phone or whatever, and you start studying the Word. And you know, God talked about fasting in here. That's what they were doing. It doesn't mean that fasting is not important. There have been so many times that the Lord has given me answers through those kind of means, and I highly recommend it. But you know that there are many groups in the world today, many religious groups. That's one of the things I've been kind of diving into recently, is researching especially some of the high control groups and cults. You know that there are several thousand of them in the United States alone, what's classified as cults. You know, one of the things that they have in common, and I've been listening to testimonies of survivors of those things, people that used to be in them and come out, and every one of them that I have heard said, prayer, they drilled into us. Prayer was important. Fasting, they would say, we'd take this time and we would fast. And I mean, I'm talking about groups that had multiple wives and everything. Folks, something wasn't working, all right? Something wasn't working in some of these groups, that there was so much abuse and there was so much mind control and manipulation and all that. And yet, they put such an emphasis on praying and seeking the Lord. Oh, we gotta. That's what these people were doing. In Isaiah 58, he said, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And they fast and everything. Folks, Jesus said something about, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, in vain they worship me. I can't think of a, I really can't think of a worse thing than to spend my whole life doing things and doing the things that some people laugh at and dressing like I do and being careful with the things that I feel like I need to be careful with and taking time out of my day that I could be doing other things and reading the Bible and praying and all that. And then get to the end of the way and the Lord say it's for nothing. It was profitless. Everything you did had no profit in it. Folks, don't worry. The Lord is not going to just... He's not sitting up there in heaven saying, oh, you know, I wonder if they figure out the secret combination. I did it where they've got to get it just right. And if they get it just right, well, then the switch is on. But if they don't get it just right, the switch is off. Folks, yes, we have to get it just right in a sense. And we'll get to that in a little bit. The Lord's a merciful God. He said, you'll hear a voice behind you. This is also in Isaiah. I think it's chapter 30. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand or to the left, start going off this way a little bit. Son, you better get back on track. Start turning to the other. Folks, nobody ever loses their soul on accident. They never go off the rails without something. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let's go. And these people, these Israelites, I've just been reading about them. And they tried so hard. It says, we won't turn there, but in Malachi 2 and 13, it says, you covered the altar with your tears. This have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Folks, tonight, if you feel like my message is to kind of negate the importance of prayer and fasting and all of that, you've missed it, because that's not what it is. But the Lord, he wants us to do all those things, but there are some ingredients that's got to be thrown in there. All right? So let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Maybe we'll just read verse 2. For all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. You know, it's pretty much all the scriptures we've been reading so far is in Isaiah. That means that they were all written pretty much close to the same period of time. Yeah, it was spread out several years, but it was to the same group of people. So it's not like this message was written to one group of people and this message was written to another group. These were all written to the same group of people. He wasn't sitting up there in heaven saying, you know, I've been sick of you guys for so long and you're so close to apostatizing and I can't wait and all of that. No, he offered them redemption. He offered them direction. He said, I want to guide you continually. And you can take those scriptures. And Isaiah is a beautiful book of prophecy. And I know that a lot of the stuff in Isaiah is really pointing forward to the time of the Messiah, when he would guide us by his Holy Spirit. But he also wanted to guide them. He wanted to guide them. He wanted to direct them. But he said, We got to have some other ingredients in there. He said, for all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things hath been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Even to him that gets all the little details right, just figures out the secret combination, and you got to get involved with just the right group, and all. To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. We'll come back to that in a little bit. I'm just going to fire off a couple scriptures real quick to kind of build a foundation. Not going to speak a lot on each one of them individually, but I think we might have read this morning. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But then we have Proverbs 28 and 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even what? His prayer. Even his prayer shall be abomination. Folks, The Lord loves it when we seek Him. But the Lord hates it when we have things in our heart that we know are rebellion against God. I'm not talking about things that He's revealed to you that you say, Lord, I'm just not there yet, but if you'll give me time, I'll get there. Folks, the Lord has so much patience and mercy and grace. I have things right now in my life that the Lord's working with me on that I'm sure not where I want to be someday. I'll confess one of them to you. I'm not naturally a patient person. I'm not. And there are times when the Lord will come and tap me on the shoulder after a long day that I prayed for patience and I sought the Lord and said, you need to go and apologize to your child because you snapped at them when you were trying to hold two boards together and put a screw through them in just the right place and they came and wanted to show you their pet toad and it scared you. Am I the only one that has those kind of things happen to you? And it all gets misaligned and you're like, hold on just a minute. And then you have to go back. Folks, I'm not talking about that. The Lord knows that He remembers that we are dust. He knoweth our frame. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has mercy like that. But folks, there are times when the Lord also wants to put His finger on you and say, you need to do this. And you know, and sometimes it's a pretty small little whisper, and you've got to deal with it honestly. We heard about honesty a couple nights ago. Can I read you Psalm 15, a couple of verses? Psalm 15, Psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You think this is talking about, he's asking who's going to live in the chapel? Of course not. Who's going to be able to dwell in the presence of God? Who's going to be able to have God guide them where they say, you know what, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do because He showed me. Who's going to be able to do that? Who's going to be able to wake up feeling like, yeah, I'm not perfect and I've got some brokenness and I've got some problems, but the Lord's working with me and He's showing me things and He's given me this scripture and I don't know what the Lord wants me to do tomorrow, but I know what He wants me to do today. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do as good a job as I possibly can. Lord, help me. Well, it said, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. And there's other things that it says here. Maybe somebody else can preach on these other ones, but this is the one, this last one that I read, has been, this was what the Lord started dealing with me a few weeks ago. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. Folks, we heard something like this the other night. I don't do everything that Dave Ramsey says, but you may know the name. He's a financial advisor, and I've heard him say, people will call in and say, oh, my finances are in a mess. And he'll say, well, this is what you need to do. And I've heard him say, now, what I told you is not complicated. It's difficult, but it's not complicated. That's how this is. Many times the Lord will bring something, and I would. You know, if everyone would be honest at all times, every time they hear the voice of the Lord, and they wouldn't try to brush something under the rug, Peter said, we won't turn there, but he said, of a truth I perceive, Acts 10 and 34, that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. And I'm going to extend that. I don't think it's going to do any violence to the Scripture. In any nation, time, culture, race, group, whatever, he that worketh righteousness, that feareth and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Folks, God does not just reveal or want to reveal His will to just a few. He wants to guide you tonight. He wants to give you direction where you know, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Do you know that? That's a question on the board, and I guess it could have been maybe a little bit more of a catchy title or whatever. But it's where we live. Does God guide you? Does God guide you tonight? Does He guide the things that you said? You go and you say, you know, I'm going to put them in their place. I'm going to tell them because we got to uphold the Word of God, and we've got to, and I've got to tell it like it is. Really? I mean, maybe even if the person needs to hear that, are you the one to say it? And if you're the one to say it, is now the time to say it? Chances are, a lot of times we're tempted to say those things, and all three conditions aren't true. They don't need to hear it. You're not the one to say it, and it's not the right time. If you think you might be missing one of those things, that would be enough to give you pause, wouldn't it? If it involved their soul, what do you think the chances are of hitting all three of them right on the button if you're not guided by the Lord? This is not complicated. It's just a little bit difficult because a lot of times we want that, and this is where the trouble is. We got our flesh that wants to say those things and that wants to do those things. And we've got our flesh that doesn't want to admit when we're wrong, especially when we were just arguing with somebody about it and we beat them in the argument. There's people that are smart enough to win every argument they get into. But the Lord said every knee's going to bow. That means all the people that won all the arguments, that knew in the back of their head that what I'm saying has a little bit of slant to it, but I got to come out on top because, well, just because. A thousand reasons. He doesn't reveal His will to just a few. We won't turn there, but it says in Colossians 1 and 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom in spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And I don't read where that was singled out to just a group of the people that were being addressed in the book of Colossians. Like, here's this to some of you, but it's not to everybody. Folks, I wonder if the church is in Revelation, if all they had done was be honest with everything. I have heard people say, and I'm sorry, I disagree with it. I have heard people say, sincerity alone will not get you to heaven. Yes, sincerity alone will get you to heaven. And I'll tell you why. It would not if there was not a God. But because there is a God, and because He loves you, and because He is interested more than you are yourself about revealing His will to you, not trying to just set up this mental set of gymnastics and obstacle course for you to hit just right, and then, well, I guess they did it, I'm going to have to show them. Because of all that, if all that you've got to do, no matter where you're at, no matter if you've just gotten saved, or even if you're not saved and you see, even if you've never even heard that there is a God, but you look around and you see the trees and you see all the things that God created, you know that's why that Romans 1 and 20 says they have no excuse? Because the people that are atheists really aren't. All right? They're really not. They may say they are, but every person has something down deep inside of them that has to answer to God. And they have to do it either yea or nay before they get to the judgment, else God would not be a just God. Every person, I believe that people, think about people that, Native Americans that were here before anybody came and preached the gospel. Maybe they didn't know the name of Jesus and they didn't know doctrine this and doctrine that. But I believe that in every place people can see there's something higher than me. And then they have to be honest with that. And you know, being honest doesn't just stop there. It goes here too. It goes here too. Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much shall be required." And I'm so thankful for the things that the Lord has given us. I'm thankful. I believe the gospel's preached here. I believe truth is preached here. I believe people that have gone before us had the Spirit of God. I believe people that are sitting here today have the Spirit of God. I feel the love and the fellowship and the power of God. And didn't we just hear a testimony about how somebody's knees are better? Thank the Lord. I'd like to see some more of that. All right? But if we, all you've got to do, folks, you don't have to... There have been groups down through history that have had God work among them. Right? We're not the... I want to be careful. I love this place. I love this place. There have been groups down through history where God worked among them. God healed. He filled people with the Holy Spirit. He worked miracles. He directed them, brought them out of persecutions, all kinds of situations. Was it because they dialed in the right combination of what words to say and not say and all? I'm not making fun of any of that. I am very passionate about, and I'll just say this. I've told this, I'm highly regulated. The Lord regulates many aspects of my life. And if you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to be regulated too. But somehow, groups have a tendency. Sometimes they keep. We heard about a form last night, didn't we? I appreciated that. You can keep all the outward stuff. It is not because the groups that you can read about, the Moravians, the Quakers, Anabaptists, different. It is not that they dialed in exactly everything correct. They didn't have necessarily all of the theological doctrines correct and all of that. It's not because of that, or it's not because they did, because they didn't, that the Lord worked among them. It was because those groups formed from people that were serious and sold out to God. They were serious about seeking God. They gave up things. They laid down some things. They laid down ideas. They laid down pride. And they said, we want to seek the Lord. And a lot of them faced intense persecution. Sometimes, Paul said to pray for that we may pray for the peace of the country. You may live a peaceable life, but sometimes I think it might help us a little bit if we had some persecution here. Right? Let's talk about honesty a little bit more. I grew up in a good home. And I grew up being taught so many good things. I am so thankful for that. I grew up coming here. I've told a few people I've only missed coming here 1 year of my life. 1999, I didn't come. Every year of my life, other than that, I've been here. As I have gotten older, there have been things that the Lord has put His finger on in my life personally and said, you were taught this, but you need to make a slight adjustment. And you know it's hard to hear that. All right? I want to be very careful because you can take that idea and run with it. And I don't want anybody to do that this evening. My point is that when things come to us that, and you have been following the Lord, and the Lord says, I want you to trade in the form for some substance. You're doing this and this and this, but you're really a little bit imbalanced in this area, this action, this thought. And it's causing you, in some cases it might be, you're getting a little bit self-righteous and critical. Or you have a false sense of security and you need to trade this in. The reason I'm saying this, and the reason that I mentioned the groups before, is that the many times groups that start with the best of intentions lose something after a while. Do you think we're exempt from that? Do you think we're infallible? You think that the things that anything that's ever preached or taught or written is infallible? I do not. But I do think this is a wonderful place. So if I can get the balance here, please don't misunderstand me. We're not infallible. There are things that the Lord may want to take and say, you know what? And yes, let me bring this in. Doctrines never change. Okay? Doctrines never change. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in holiness. I believe in living free from sin. I believe in divine healing. I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in two works of grace. Those things never change in many others. They don't change at all. Sometimes the application of those things can change and does and will and should from culture to culture and from generation to generation, and even in individual circumstances, depending on how God deals with you from one time to the other. It is scary to say things like that because you're like, well, I just want to hold on, I want to keep. Listen, if you let the Lord guide you, you're not going anywhere. All right? Honesty prevents us from making changes that need to be made. The Pharisees were listening to Jesus talk one time and he was saying, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know what it said right after that? It said the Pharisees who were covetous heard those things and they derided him. They didn't have any, what the word didn't sink in to their hearts because they had something that they were holding on to. And it caused it to bounce right off. Folks, there are many things that the Lord wants to change about you. All right? There are. I have been in a constant journey. And I've been saved for 22 years. And the Lord, every little bit, the Lord brings something. No, I'm not going off the rails. But the Lord guides me. The Lord will guide you too. And you have to be willing to be honest and say, you know what? That might be a little bit embarrassing to admit, but this is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to follow it regardless. Regardless of what I said a week ago, and I got to go back and apologize. Even regardless of what Grandpa said. And please take that in the spirit that I mean it. All right? And Grandpa may have been saved. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Some of the core doctrines that we hold very dear, living free from sin. You know what one of the most common tricks of the enemy is? See, the Pharisees were covetous, and so all the words of Jesus just bounced off of them. They didn't hear it. And it was because they had some preconceived notions. Do you know that what Jesus said touched their heart? Jesus wasn't one that went out and threw out words, hoping some of them would stick. Everything that he said was highly efficient and went right to the root of the matter every time. Because he knew what the root of the matter was. He could see inside their hearts. We can't always do that. In fact, a lot of times we can't do it at all. We can look at somebody. I wouldn't dare to look at somebody and say, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. But he knew her heart, you see. And he knows your heart tonight. He knows exactly where you're at. And so when things are presented, then we have a choice to make inside. And sometimes we can, I'll tell you, one of the tricks of the devil is that when we have something that we cannot overcome, and we hear a doctrine like you can live free from sin, we can say, that's me, and I need, Lord, I don't know how to change. I've been to the altar so many times, and I've tried to help myself. We can't change ourselves, but the Lord can change us. But when we look at those things in our life, you know what the tendency is? To find another way of looking at the Scriptures where now that thing is okay. And I can kind of leave it. I don't have to worry about it because, you know, that's what not really what the Bible meant. I mean, it means this over here. And we, folks, it's dangerous. Well, I'd like to go to Acts 17. Paul was talking to the ones on Mars Hill, a bunch of people that had really never heard about God. He said, you've got so many gods over here. I saw an altar that said to the unknown God, and it's kind of a really kind of a clever device that he used because it was punishable by death to introduce any new gods in Athens at that time, as I understand it. And so he said, I want to tell you about this unknown God. You don't know him, but I want to tell you about him. It said, and he started telling about it in the 26th verse. Acts 17, it said, he's made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That means that the way he set up the way things work, okay? And he designed that men should seek the Lord. He designed that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Folks, in a setting like this, there are many ways to go off the rails. There are many ways, and I don't know if I finished my thought a while ago, but the church is in Revelation. Have you thought about, you think they just started out bad? I doubt it. I know some of them didn't. One of them was Ephesus. They started out with good people, good intentions, the Holy Spirit, and slowly, whatever they were holding on to, some of them, now there are a couple of them, I think Ephesus actually may have been, no, it was one of the ones that got a disapproval mark. There are only two. The other five, he said, about one of them, you've got a name that you live, but you're dead. He said about another one, I wish you were either cold or hot, but you say I'm rich. I've got all this. I've got all the doctrines. I've got all the knowledge. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the people in Israel. Jesus said in his time, he said, Capernaum, you're exalted up to heaven. And he'd go and he'd try to talk to the people there, and they just knew it all. They had the doctrines down pat. They had the law down pat. They had everything, and they didn't really need to hear anything else. Do you think that God was going to let those people in Capernaum just go out into eternity being totally convinced without ever pricking them somewhere down deep inside? Folks, the pricks aren't very hard, aren't very sharp sometimes. They're kind of subtle because God works off of honesty. And He doesn't work off partial honesty. He works off of absolute honesty. And He works off of persuasion. He doesn't work off coercion. He doesn't work off just empty tradition like we heard about last night. You know that it is not possible for an individual or a group to be so right that they may be followed on autopilot without question. All right? Paul said that he hath determined the bounds of men's habitation, that they should seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord means a whole lot more than going a few days without food and praying, although that is a big part of it many times. Seeking the Lord involves saying, you know what? This thing that I buried kind of under the rug because we teach we live free from sin, but this right here that I did, it really wasn't right. But since we teach that, boy, it'd be a big deal if I had to back up on that now. And so we're not going to worry about that right now. Lord, bless me. I'm just seeking you. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. He's not going to do it. So let me ask you, does God guide you? He wants to. He's not just willing to, but He longs to. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to send you revelations of His will. And He does it in many different ways. I've had so many times that the Lord has sent me. He's given me dreams. He's given me scriptures and songs and things. And then I've had other times where I decided to do my own thing a little bit. And that kind of stopped. Ahab was dealt with several times by the Lord. And I believe that he had a tender heart, at least a great deal of his life. And he saw what happened at Mount Carmel. How could you ever back up from something like that? And he walked really softly after Elijah told him what was going to happen because of Naboth's vineyard. And I wonder what that all means. What did he do? Did he start going to the synagogue? Did he repent? I don't know what it really means. But at the end of his life, a prophet came to him. There was 400 of them that came. And it wasn't even Ahab that wanted to see him. But Jehoshaphat said, "Let's ask the Lord if He wants us to go to battle." Ahab said, "Okay." So they got 400 prophets. And all of them said, "Oh yeah, that's what the Lord wants you to do." And Jehoshaphat, something didn't ring true, I guess. And he said, "Isn't there one more?" And Ahab said, "Yeah, but I hate the guy because he never preaches anything that I want to hear. It's always bad stuff and it's always doom and gloom." And folks, the landscape hasn't changed much today. Ahab was not just one of a kind. What if a minister gets up and they can't speak very well? Or they're not very popular? Do you know that if truth comes from an atheist and it rings true in our heart and we know it, did you know we're responsible for that? If truth comes from somebody that did you wrong and hurt you, and they say it and you know it's truth, did you know you're responsible for that? Doesn't matter who says it, where it comes from. The Lord doesn't. And yes, there are times when we trust more what somebody says than another person because of their life, their example, and all of that. I get that. But the Lord has a transaction that He carries out with us every day of our lives where we hear things and then we have a choice of what to do with it. Well, Ahab didn't do that very well. And so the Lord sent him, and the Lord had mercy on him one more time. You know, Micaiah didn't have to go anywhere to see him. Micaiah could have stayed at his house or not spoken to him. But he came and he said, at first he said, "Yeah, go up." And Jehoshaphat, Ahab said, "How many times do I have to tell you, I want to hear what the word of the Lord says?" And he said, "I saw all Israel without a shepherd." And he said, the Lord said, "Who will entice Ahab? Who will guide Ahab to fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" Do you know that that is not an isolated Old Testament incident? When we live in such a way where we are not completely honest, the Lord is merciful and He will give us, I believe He'll give us sometimes many chances, and thank the Lord. But it is a very dangerous thing to have the Lord reveal something to you that you know is true and then walk away from it for whatever reason or because of whoever said. Because not only do you go out of the presence of God, but the Lord, being the gentleman He is, says, "You want to live in lies? I'll send you some lies. And it happens. Are you being guided by God tonight? You pray for me.
I feel like I didn't finish. Ahab met his doom. Didn't have to be that way. As I said earlier, Micaiah was God's last ray of mercy to him. I mentioned that God will send us. He'll allow spirits of deception, delusion, to come. But God in His mercy, it's like He always leaves the door unlocked. He doesn't send those things so much that there's so strong that there's no opportunity and you live for years totally deceived and you lost your chance way back there. But if you are deceived and there are things that the devil has lied to you about and you believe them, the Lord has a way of holding this thing back here. That's where we have to go back to, is where we got off. I don't know how to express it in the way that I'm feeling it. But the way back to God, the Lord will be faithful to you and show you where you turned. If you seek Him, that's the great mercy of God. He doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to send you spirits of delusion and there will never be. Folks, even with that, there's a way back. But it does not involve keeping all the things. If it was a problem in record keeping, which involves math, you'd have to go back to where the problem was and start from there to build the records again. That the Lord allows us to do that. He doesn't give us unlimited time, but He gives each one of us enough time. So if the Lord, if you think that, well, I don't know how to get back to where I was, the Lord will show you where you turned off. Thank the Lord.